Welcome. Today I have the great honor of interviewing the interviewer, Magdalena Surma. She is currently Canada's NATO Program Contributor and Outreach Coordinator, former Program Editor of Global Horizons. Magdalena completed a BA in Legal Studies and a Master's in Public Service at the University of Waterloo. She also attended Harvard during two summers, where she completed courses in psychology, government, and law. In addition, she successfully completed Harvard Law School's Executive Education Program in Negotiation and Leadership. Magdalena is currently completing an LLB through the University of London's International Program. She is passionate about law, government, and charitable nonprofit organizations. As an avid researcher, she hopes to extend her research to investigate women in security while examining society, culture, and international relations. In addition, Magdalena is also passionate about international business and economy. She is very excited about being involved with various projects at NATO, specifically engaging youth and society about international affairs. Apart from a love of politics, Magdalena enjoys fine art, ballet, and classic music.
Eric, I want to begin by thanking you for doing this interview today. As all of the listeners know, we've previously completed interviews together, so it's a great honor to have you officially interview me today. So thank you for doing this.
It's a pleasure, and it's a pleasure to interview you in regards to your travels, your recent travels. I understand that you spent a month in Krakow, Poland.
Yes, that's correct. I spent the past month in Poland with my grandmother, and this is where I had an opportunity to visit various museums, galleries, try fine food, explore and experience the culture, also meet with a few individuals who have helped shape history. It's been nothing but a pleasure spending the past month in Poland.
That's great. Now you're back.
I'm back. It's good
Welcome
to be back,
back
home with you.
That's it. Please begin by telling us more about the work that you are currently doing at the NATO Association of Canada.
It's a good question, Eric, and as all of the viewers know, over the past 9 months, I served as a program editor of the Global Horizons program at the NATO Association of Canada, and not too long ago, I have been declared as Canada's NATO's podcast contributor and outreach coordinator at the NATO Association of Canada, so all of the listeners currently tuning in to this podcast, you'll notice that I have been posting a few interviews under the Global Horizons program as the official contributor of the Canada's NATO podcast program. On top of that, I'm also a project coordinator. You could say I'm a project manager pretty much at this point. And what I'm currently doing is I'm helping organize the ATA General Assembly, which is scheduled to take place in October.
Wow, that's a lot of activity there.
And I want to mention that over the past year, I've had an opportunity to engage and to meet with various diplomats, a Consul General of Turkey, Consul General of India, honorary Consul Generals, and those are just a couple of the many Consul Generals and diplomats that I have interviewed. For those who are listening to this podcast, if you go on the Global Horizons program and you go further back, you can actually see all of the interviews that I've completed with various diplomats, government officials, scholars, students, academics, and those who have served an influential purpose in the international community. I also want to mention that in every interview that I've done, I wanted to focus on providing advice to the youth and the young professionals out there who are interested in perhaps pursuing a career in diplomacy. And as the former program editor of Global Horizons and as Canada's NATO podcast contributor, I can say that that's something that I plan on continuing to do as time progresses, because I do believe that it it is valuable, and I've received feedback from a lot of the students and young professionals out there thanking me for the work that I've done, because it's one thing for individuals to see diplomats at events or at a conference, but it's another thing for someone who perhaps is interested in pursuing a career in diplomacy to hear about the advice that an actual diplomat has to provide. So because I feel that every diplomat has different experience, ranging from serving for over 45 years to serving a few years, I think every diplomat has something valuable to offer to anyone who's interested in pursuing the profession. One of my last interviews that I did was with a former ambassador of Canada who served as a diplomat for 45 years, and that's Mr. Marius Grinius, and that's been posted under the Global Horizons program. And I want to mention that Mr. Grinius certainly provided a lot of useful advice to those who are perhaps interested in considering a profession in diplomacy. So I encourage all of the listeners today to tune in to that interview, and you certainly will be pleased as to the advice that you hear Mr. Grinius provide all of us.
Well, thank you for bringing us up to date on the activities that you're carrying on at the National Association of Canada. In regards to your travels in the past month, can you tell us what Poland was like?
I can say that I haven't been in Poland in quite a period of time. The last time that I actually did go to Poland was when I was 9 years old. And now, obviously, being a bit older, I'm still young, I'm not aging myself right now, but being, you know, someone who's in her mid-20s, I can say that I was really impressed with the beauty of Poland. And to all of those who want to actually see the work that I did while in Poland, I encourage you all to go on my YouTube account. If you just go on YouTube and you type in my name, Magdalena Surma, you'll be able to see all of the albums that I created. I had an opportunity to stay in Poland with my grandmother and her friends who showed me all of Krakow. I can say that I genuinely feel that I saw everything that I wanted to see over the past month. Seeing fine art galleries, museums, having an opportunity to go to the Auschwitz-Birkenau Memorial Museum. It's a former extermination concentration camp, Nazi German extermination and concentration camp, was definitely something that I wanted to do. I feel that it's one thing to watch a documentary or to read a book about World War II, but it's another thing to actually physically go to an extermination and concentration camp and to see the history, to see what the actual buildings, what the actual camp looks like. It was, I want to say it was definitely difficult. It was a hard thing to have to see and a hard thing to do. But as someone with a Jewish-Polish background, I'm extremely proud to have had an opportunity to see my history, the history of my people's suffering. And it's something that I encourage everyone to do who is, you know, who has studied World War II, who is interested in actually completing work or is interested in showing what history looked like in the past. I would encourage everyone to travel and to go to the Birkenau Memorial Concentration and Extermination Camp to have a tour. The actual museum and memorial provides tours in many different languages, in Polish, German, French, English, so you can complete the tour individually or in a group. So that's something that is very helpful. While there, I had an opportunity to meet with a few Germans, a few French people, a few Canadians. So it's definitely an important part of history. And it's something that was tough to see. But being a Polish Jew, I wanted to officially go and to see history and to see the camp with my own two eyes. On top of that, I also had an opportunity to go to Oskar Schindler's factory, and that's where Steven Spielberg filmed the movie Schindler's List. And as you know, Oskar Schindler was a gentleman with a German background, and what he did to protect the Poles, to protect the Polish Jews, and to protect people during World War II is an important part of history. So I encourage anyone who's in Krakow and who's interested in learning more about World War II and who is interested in seeing some of the work that people did to protect those who were victims and who could have lost their lives but survived, to go to Oskar Schindler's factory and to explore, to see the actual museum. Now, it is something that will take a few hours, so I do suggest that you take at least half the day off to be able to take your time to, you know, properly go through all of the books, to go through all of the sections of the museum. I can say that I spent pretty much the whole day at Oskar Schindler's factory. And for those who are interested in learning more about my time in Poland, you can also go on the Global Horizons program and you can see photo albums along with videos and podcasts that I created about my time at Oskar Schindler's factory and Memorial Museum. And also there is a publication that has been released about my time and my stay at the Auschwitz-Birkenau Memorial and Museum. In addition, I also had an opportunity to go to the second part of Oskar Schindler's factory, which was museum, the official museum, Historyczna w Krakowie, which is the historical museum of Krakow. And that's where I saw the Gestapo cells. And now, while in Krakow, and while visiting the second part of the museum, I had a chance to speak with the director of the museum there. So he provided me with his recent publications about the disowned soldiers in Poland. And again, for those who are interested in learning more about my stay at the Gestapo cells, I did also release a publication with more information about the Gestapo cells. So for those who want to see what it looked like, I again created a video, a podcast, and an album showing everything that I saw, because I want all of the viewers and all of the listeners to feel like they were actually in Poland. And the best way that I could achieve that was to create an album every day. So every day I worked. And whether it be going to a museum, whether it be visiting with the director of a museum, whether it be going to Krakow to meet with various people, I wanted to display that, and that's officially visible to the public on my YouTube account.
Well, thanks for telling us about the month that you spent in Poland. We got, I think, a lot of detail about different things you explored and learned about. So thank you very much. In regards of challenging aspects with your time in Poland, can you talk to us about the most rewarding as well as some of the challenging aspects associated with your month in Poland?
I'll start off with the challenging aspects, and I'll finish off with the rewarding aspects. Save the best for last. I have to say that the challenging aspects would have been, it's a really tough question to answer because there was so much good that I saw and so many opportunities that were given to me in a short period of time that it's difficult to come up with a concrete challenge other than the fact that if I could change one thing, I would have spent more time in Poland because Krakow is a huge city. And I had a chance to see a lot of Krakow. But now I also would love to see Warsaw one day, which is the capital city of Poland. And that's something that I plan on doing with you one day, is going to Poland, perhaps on our honeymoon. And we can go to Warsaw and to Krakow and see all of the beauty behind Poland. But no, so that would definitely be the biggest challenge, is not necessarily having the time to see other parts of Poland outside of Krakow. But again, that's something that I can we can do in the future. We can go to Warszawa and have our wedding, our honeymoon in Poland.